Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We podcast at 93.3. No, we broadcast at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station.
Because of us, thank you very much.
Absolutely, thanks to us. And podcast at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. No, we do not do Get the
Point. We don't do Get the Point Radio anymore.
No, we do not do that. They would not send us club soda, so we banished them.
Nice, banished them.
I am Walter Duralia, the Banishaw, and Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And Chris and I gather here every week to bring you, the good listener, everything you need to know about comic culture.
Everything. Everything you need to know. Hey, you know what? There's a big...
And a few things that probably...
You probably don't need to know about, yeah. Hey, there was a big show on this last weekend. You may have heard about a little show called the New York Comic Con.
Oh, I thought you meant the even bigger one, the Tri-State
Supercon. See, you know what? The New York one is big, but it's just New York, whereas Tri-City is
three
cities, right? Right? Yeah.
So yeah. We'll get to those a little bit later.
All right, perfect.
But we're going to start the show, Chris, like we do every week, because if it's one thing we are, is predictable.
Very predictable.
We're going to start the show with New This Week. And like every week, New This Week is brought to you by Stella Artois Club Soda. It's probably pretty well, it's a Belgian club
soda. It's a Belgian club soda.
And it's pretty well the only club soda that the Walloons and the Flanderites agree on.
The Walloons?
Or the,
yeah, what's a Walloon?
The Walloons are the southern...
Isn't Belgians. That what you hear when you go camping?
Might be.
You know?
After a plate of beans?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think the Walloons are in the south of Belgium, and the All Flanders right. boys and girls are in the north of Belgium. And apparently they don't get along.
I see.
They don't agree
I see.
With much, but one thing they do agree on, Stella Artois.
Kind of like the Hot Rocks and the McCoys.
Well.
Yeah.
They do agree that Stella Artois is a fine club soda.
All right, well, that's fair. That's fair.
All right,
listen, you know what? You got me all discombobulated here, talking all about, Walloons and things. I want to talk about this one here. It's a DC comic. I'm actually very intrigued by it, and I don't get intrigued by it a lot these days. DC comic, because it doesn't look like a DC comic when you from the outset.
Right.
It's called DC, it's called Cursed Comics Cavalcade.
Cursed Comics Cavalcade.
The old triple C.
That's right.
Cursed Comics Cavalcade. It's an 80-page giant. It's a number one. And it's it looks on the outset like one of those 1950s EC horror comics.
It does.
And
masked and everything. It's got Batman in the front.
It's got Batman in the front. It's an anthology-type comic. It's mm-hmm. obviously coming out for All Hallows Eve, or how some people like to say, Halloween. This is being the month of October.
Right.
And it looks awesome. I think it looks great. I think the art looks fantastic on the inside. I think it's refreshing. The only thing I don't like about it, but it is 80 pages, I don't like about the $9.99 price tag, which was, of course, that is a U.S. price. Uh-huh. It will be a little bit higher in Canada for those of you who shop in Canada. But it's a good-looking book.
Well, this is a good-looking book, Chris, and it's called Cursed Comics Cavalcade.
Cursed Comics Cavalcade.
Number one.
Yep.
From DC Comics, and it's at your local comic book shop.
Right. All right. And seeing as we're on the topic of Halloween, I'm going to skip over something here for a second, but we're on the topic of Halloween anyways. So I want to go to Archie Comics.
Archie.
Archie is publishing their Archie Halloween Spooktacular. Actually, it's called Spectacular, but I thought I'd throw in that Spooktacular. Archie Halloween Spectacular, December 2018. December, October, what am I talking about? But yeah, it's a, it is the month of October, so we've got, Betty dressed like a cave girl, and Veronica dressed like a hippie, and Jughead's dressed like a chocolate bar, so, you know what, I love the fact that people are still, in the comic book industry, are still celebrating Halloween and doing something fun for Halloween.
You're absolutely right, and this looks like a fun comic, only $2.99, which is a nice, great price point.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
It's Archie Halloween Spooktacular.
Spooktacular.
And it is at your local comic book shop.
All right. So next one I want to talk about here, I'm going to go back now to DC for a second here.
Sure.
And this is Titans, DC Titans, number 27. Now, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Beep, 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 beep. So, in case you haven't read DC's Heroes in Crisis, which came out, I believe it was last week or two. No, maybe 2 weeks ago, last week. I don't remember what it is now.
I'm pretty sure.
This does the first issue. Actually, there's a couple things going on here. The first one is you see the grave site of Roy Harper, who died in the last issue of Heroes in Crisis. Now, he was also Arsenal. He was also, Green Arrow's sidekick there. Bucky. Not Bucky. That's, Red Arrow. Speedy.
Speedy.
But at the same time, you know, in case you didn't know, Nightwing got shot in the head. There's lots of stuff going on here, and there's a guy who's on death row here, or not death row, but like he's on life support, I should say. So, you know, there's just lots of stuff going on. This is a heavy duty issue of Titans. Wow. Now, maybe, it's meant to be part of the Halloween extravaganza that's going on right now, but I don't think so.
It's got that, kind of like a mint metallic cover.
Yeah, I want to get to that in a little bit. I might as well talk about it right now. So It seems like, I hate to say it, but it's...
Say it, Chris.
I feel like the comic book industry is one step away from the 1990s gimmick covers.
Don't say it, Chris.
Well, you know, we're doing lots of variant covers. Uh-huh. We're doing...
I think this is what I think.
Okay, what do you think?
The difference between now and the 90s, in a sense, is for some reason, somehow, somewhere, industry is supporting these things right now. Whereas before, there was, I don't know, it had a more sense of speculation.
Right, before, right. Okay, fair enough.
I don't know, now it's just a sense of, hey, I really like that cover. Whereas in 1991, it's like, hey, I got to buy 100 issues of that.
Right.
And put that away because that's going to be worth money one day.
Right.
I don't think anybody's buying Titans number 27 thinking it's going to be worth money one day. I think they're just enjoying that cover. They're
right.
Enjoying
okay.
that metallic cover. And they go, hey, I really like that cover. I like the effect. That adds to the allure of the book.
Right.
I'm going to buy the book.
All right. That's fair. I just think that... I don't know. The thing is, they're doing that same cover, but then they do it again in foil.
Right.
So right. I just don't know what's going on.
That's a gimmick.
That's
right
all.
There.
Right. So hey, that's all I'm saying.
Titans number 27 is at your local comic book shop today.
Okay. Next up, I want to talk about this. Is a big one that's coming out. And the only reason why I'm kind of somewhat interested in this.
Hold on,
is,
Chris. I gotta open up a new.
Get some more club soda. Why don't you? So Spider-Geddon is coming out.
Spider-Geddon.
And you know, the best way for me to describe this is I'm going to read to you what it says on the inside front cover. So this is from Spider-Geddon number 1. Some time ago, the spider-powered heroes of many universes united in battle to defeat Rapacious. I can speak. Don't worry.
You put the emphasis.
I put the
on the wrong syllable.
I know, right? A family of seemingly immortal beings who fed on the life essence.
Can you be to read the rest of that, too?
Just hold on a second here. Life essence of spiders. The spider army destroyed the cloning machines that made the inheritors immortal and trapped them on a poisonous radioactive planet, saving the spiders of the multiverse from a horrific fate. The veterans of the war for Spider-Verse return to their lives, and blah, blah, blah. Here we go again. Now, I like the fact that it's Christos Gage doing the writing. He's a good writer,
uh-huh.
And I like the fact that it's George Molina who's doing the art. So you know what? I like everything about this book. I just think the subject matter is terrible.
Oh, Chris, so, I think that's judgment.
That's my two cents.
Yeah, I can tell. You know what? I do like the cover. It's a good-looking book.
Good-looking book.
There are a lot of spider guys and girls on
this.
Yes,
there are.
You know that you're a spider guy or girl if you can name all these incarnations of a spider hero.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I can name one.
Two? One?
Two.
Let me see.
I can name three.
Three?
Three. I
Come
can
on.
Name three.
Let me see here. I'm going to see how many I can name. I can name... Oh, I could name way more than three. But, you know, I don't want to get into that right now. So, you know what? We'll just say three.
Okay. So, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. There's like 14 spider heroes on it. And if anybody can name all 14, hats off to them. Spider-Geddon is at your local comic book shop today. It is number one, and it's got a lot of spiders on it.
Perfect. All right, next up, I want to talk about the Immortal Hulk.
The Immortal Hulk.
So, in case you didn't know, small spoiler alert.
Beep, 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 beep.
Hulk is back. He was dead. Now he's back.
Right.
So, basically, he's ticked off. That's the best way I'm going to say it. And
hey, when is Hulk not ticked off?
Well, he's even more. He's ticked off at the Avengers.
Oh, that's not a good
right because thing. Hawkeye shot him, and like there's so he's ticked off at the Avengers. There's more to it than that, but that's part of it. You know, so basically now we've got the Incredible Hulk fighting Thor and Captain America, Iron Man, Black Panther, like you name it, and he's fighting him, and it's a crazy. Comic here, but you know what? It's an awesome looking book. Not just a good looking book. It's an awesome looking book. It's got the She-Hulk in it. Like it's Ms. Marvel and all kinds of great characters. Good looking book.
That is a good looking book. It's number seven. It's the Immortal Hulk, and it is at your local comic book shop.
All right.
Don't make the Hulk mad by not buying this.
No.
All right.
Finally, last book I want to talk about is from Action Lab. Action Lab is one of those smaller comic book companies that
I've heard of them before.
Yeah.
Didn't they have something before?
Yeah,
a comic.
They've got a few comics out there. They do Miraculous, Zombie Tramp.
Right. Okay. Yeah,
they do a bunch of stuff here. Interesting book. This one is Albert Einstein, Time Mason. So this is basically like a time traveling adventure here. But when you look at the art, I really like the art. It's a different kind of style of artwork.
It's got
some like Nazi style characters in it, and it's got a young Albert Einstein, and it's just an interesting looking book.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it is a good looking book.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's
book.
Different.
Hey, Albert Einstein, Time Mason, from Action Lab. Is at your local comic book shop today. Check that out. Run in. It's number one. There are tons more at your local shop, so please head in and peruse the new this week.
All right, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about stuff that's going on in the comic book industry. This one is the X-Men cartoon theme. Here you go.
Hey, that was good. I like that.
That was like an orchestral
that was
version
fresh.
Of that. Yeah, it was neat. Yeah. I'm trying to bring new things to the table here.
To the table.
Yeah.
I like it. Hey.
Hey.
Brings us to Industry News. And Industry News, again, is sponsored by Stella Artois Club Soda. It's hard to find a club soda when you pour it that has a good head.
Really? Yeah, I totally agree.
And Stella Artois Club Soda has a fine head on it.
It does a good job.
Yeah,
does a good.
It's good. Nice,
yeah.
Bubbly,
yeah.
Refreshing.
Nice, it is refreshing, especially on a hot day.
On a hot day like today.
Yeah.
My goodness. And so run out and get yourself some.
Get yourself some.
All right, Chris, let's go to industry news and
let's talk about Venom.
Oh, okay. So this movie Venom came out
yeah.
last weekend. It was, I think it made $80 million at the box
it
office.
It did, yep.
Which is healthy.
Yep.
I think it was like an October record for an opening, which is healthy.
Yeah, very good.
I don't think that matters, though, anymore. Because
well,
all the blockbusters are traditionally skewed to certain months. And Black Panther opening with 200 something million in February proved that that doesn't matter.
Yeah, well,
you just pick whenever you want.
The month doesn't matter, but yeah, I'm telling you how much they make matters.
No, I know that, but my point is they go, well, it's an October record.
Right.
Well, it's like, well, if you put Avengers in October,
it'd be an October record then.
So I don't think it matters the month, because people will still go see it no matter what month. Unless you're telling me that if Black Panther opened in May, rather than 212 million, it would have made 250.
Right.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, I doubt it.
But it isn't getting the best reviews.
Well, you know what? I've read a few reviews about it, and it's getting mixed reviews at best.
Right.
At best.
Right.
Some people say it's not the movie it should have been. Some people are saying that it should have been more of a horror movie. Uh-huh. It's because it's kind of an anti-hero movie, right? Some people are saying it could have been much better. Some people are saying that if it was still an anti-hero movie, but, you know, R-rated, like Logan, it could have been better.
Or Deadpool.
Or Deadpool, it could have been better. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying that it should have had more of a variety of characters in it.
Right.
So there's all kinds of things that I'm hearing. I haven't seen it yet. Uh-huh. I was away for the weekend.
Right. I was collecting that award.
I was collecting that
award. And you were camping.
And I was
right.
that's great. Thanks.
Yeah. So
you were getting an award. What was that award for?
I don't know. I'll talk about it later.
Okay.
In the show.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it later.
So yeah. So you know what? I've heard that it's. But some people love it. Some people love it. Some people think it's great. So you know what? It's hard to really say if this is a bad movie or not.
I heard that people like Hardy in it. Like they like the actor.
Yep.
That he was good. I don't know. I mean, you know what the good thing is, I think, here, Chris? I think most people thought the movie was going to be crap.
Right.
I think everybody thought this was going to bomb.
Right.
Not everybody.
And I think some people wanted it to bomb.
Yeah, the consensus, not a consensus, I don't even say consensus. There was a feeling in the air, or some sort of subsection of the population that thought this thing was going to tank.
Right.
80 million opening box office. I'm sure Sony is happy.
Yep.
I don't know whether this is going to have legs or not.
I don't know how much movie this cost to make. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it cost them 400 million or if it cost them 50 million. I mean, you know, like, I'm sure it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think expecting a lot more than 80 million is feasible for a movie like this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know. I have no
idea.
Well,
the good thing is, when did Venom, Spidey 300, Chris, is what, 87? I'm guessing.
I think
something
so.
Like
something
that.
Like
80,
that. Yeah.
86, 87. Yep. So, yeah, you know what? Even you're right, though. Even the initial fans of Spidey 300s, they're all in their 40s and 50s.
Oh, for sure.
40s,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So,
you know what the part of the problem is? You know, and I have talks about this with various age groups, but I think it's one of those weird things where when you grow up with the character, they're not as classic. Or when the character's introduced while you're still around, mm-hmm. it's no longer a classic character to me, right? So, like, even though this character came out, you know, almost 30 years ago,
right?
I don't consider him to be a classic Spidey villain.
You were well aware of your surroundings and popular culture when he burst onto the scene.
Yeah.
So to you, he's a new thing.
He's new.
So you're the perfect age, because you would have been, let's say it was 87.
Yeah.
How old would have you been?
Like 15, 16.
Yeah, just, you know, reading comics, or maybe a little bit, you know, a couple of years past your comic prime or whatever. But so it's like, yeah. Whereas you were born, and Spider-Man and Batman had all, you know,
they were already classics.
Yeah, they're already classics because they were, you know, when you were born.
But then you get a guy that's born in 89.
Yeah,
let's say.
Yeah,
and you know,
or heaven forbid, Deadpool.
Right,
who came around when I'm in my like flipping 30s.
Yeah,
you know, like Deadpool.
Deadpool. That's not a classic character, but he's been around for 20 years.
Right.
Longer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. That's an interesting perspective.
Right. So I think
get it.
I think Venom, I think part of the problem is it's always difficult to have a villain movie. right?
Yeah.
It's hard to, you want to identify with the, in any book, novel, anything at all, you need to be able to identify with whatever it is.
Yeah, this was an obstacle for them when you think about it. This wasn't,
there's no hero in this.
Right, right.
I shouldn't say that. I haven't seen the movie yet.
Right.
I'm assuming there's no hero. I don't know for sure. But based on what I'm hearing, you need to sympathize, empathize, all those things with Eddie Brock, who becomes Venom.
Right.
Right? And it becomes a little more difficult, I would think, anyways. Right.
Well, very cool. But a positive for me, I didn't expect the reviews to be raves, but I do want it to be a financial success. Because what's waiting for this franchise, Chris, is... if it's successful, another movie with Carnage and,
there's a bunch of other characters
that Sony still has from the Spider-Verse that they can make movies out of.
Well, and this is the thing.
Here's the thing.
I'm hoping, and I feel like I'm wrong, but I'm hoping that all these creations of all these watered-down characters are not just going to end up being vehicles for movies down the road.
Right.
I hope they're not just being made for that. I hope there's actually reasons for them, and they're not just like, hey, look at me, I created 35 characters, and so now we have the rights to these 35 new characters that are just sort of, near Spider-Man's and near Batman's and that kind of thing.
Yeah, fair.
I don't know. Bitterman.
Yeah, Bitterman. And, well, so what's that leave us for this year? Because we talked about this before, Chris. 2018 has been like the greatest year in the history of comic book related movies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think only one left is the Aquaman, right?
I believe there's... I could be wrong.
The Aquaman is the big... the only other kind of big budget... Marvel/DC.
Right.
There may be some sort of other things, but and Aquaman I think comes out if I'm not mistaken in December. And the Aquaman, I think what Aquaman is facing is a similar thing to what Venom was facing, kind of like an uphill. The expectations were low.
Right.
The expectations are low coming into Aquaman. Now I hope and I think because. The Justice League and the Superman versus whatever, they kind of underwhelmed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping that Aquaman is that. I'm hoping Aquaman to DC is what Iron Man was to...
I hope so.
...to Marvel.
I hope so.
That first Iron Man movie. That pleasant surprise.
Yeah, totally.
That beautifully enjoyable movie to watch that you can watch over again.
I'm hearing really good things about Aquaman, even though it's Aquaman. But you know what? I could have said the same thing about Iron Man before Iron Man came out. I would have been like, Iron Man? Really? They're making an Iron Man movie?
Mm-hmm.
I was a little shocked when that came out. Yeah, now it's 10 years later and it's an amazing, it's a great movie.
That was the one that started it all.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right.
But Aquaman, I mean, I read something the other day about how somebody said that the Aquaman movie is going to surpass the Marvel movies. But I find that hard.
Quality, in terms of entertainment?
In terms of quality and entertainment.
Oh, good for that.
But, we'll see.
It's a lot of talking about.
A lot of talking.
A lot of talking about. All right. So, good on Venom.
Yep.
All right. And we're all rooting for Aquaman to be a really, 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 a really good shoe.
Really good shoe.
Hey, Chris, so let's quickly talk about the Comic-Cons that happened this past weekend. So I was at the Tri-City Comic Con.
How was that? So that was this is the first kick at the can for the Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo, Guelph Comic Con, that area.
Yeah.
Now it's not a huge area.
Well,
draw upon.
It is as a metropolitan area is like 500,000 people, so it's like a big metropolitan area, right?
Okay, but it's not Toronto. It's not even
It's not Toronto. It's not even Hamilton,
right?
But it's close to Hamilton in terms of when you add them all up together. We did okay as a vendor.
Yeah,
we did some sales. We did some good buying, and we made some good contacts.
Right,
those are three things that you can take out of a con. I talked to. Somebody that was heading up the celebrities.
Yep.
Pat Mastriani and the Degrassi team was there.
Okay, yep.
Guys like Paul Amos and Chris Holden Reed and Jay Baruchel, oh, the nice. Hollywood well, actor that were
a,
there.
That's a big name.
Yeah.
Yep.
And somebody said they were there only on the Saturday. And I was told that they all did well.
Oh,
they
nice.
They all like yep. made what their quota or whatever. Right, like right, made right. it worth their while to yep. come that day. Yep. Because they come and they're expecting people to come and, you know, pay for autographs or pictures or whatever. Right, you know, they right. have to yep. obviously yep. make it worth their while to
sure.
come. So that was done. The Sunday was slow. It slowed down quite a bit. What I did like, Chris, is they had a main stage.
Okay.
And on that stage, they had a revolving thing of activities.
Oh, like okay. Yeah,
had,
yeah.
They had like a reading of a Captain Canuck kids comic.
Oh, cool.
By some sort of actors that are voice actors on TV.
Yeah.
They had the cosplay costume voting thing. They had a live musician.
Oh, okay.
They had a live magician.
That's cool.
They had a whole bunch of things on this stage that actually was going pretty, like, that concept that they hit on.
Yeah.
That is, like, something that they can refine and do much better with.
I like that idea. I've seen that in other conventions where they've got sort of a main stage and it's not tucked away somewhere else. It's right on the middle
of the main floor.
Yeah, and I like that because you can do things where you can have a cosplay fashion show.
Yeah.
You could have whatever, you know, guest talks or whatever. Because, you know what the problem is with going to these conventions is you're going to be at a dealer, and then before you know it, you think to yourself, oh, I wanted to hear Walt talk about old books, but uh-huh. I just missed it by 15 minutes.
Right.
But if he's right on the main stage, that's I'm going right. to hear you start talking, yep. and yep. I'll either, you know, shut my ears off or yep. I'll go and listen to you,
yeah.
right? So,
well, luckily for you, I wasn't talking.
Oh, well, thing, you know.
But yeah, that part was fantastic. I really liked that. So they had some really positive things. Like, the event staff was fantastic.
Yep.
They went the extra mile.
Nice.
For the dealers to load and unload. It's a growing pain show.
Well, this is the first one, right?
Yeah, it's the first show. So the attendance on the Sunday was weaker than it should have been.
2-day con or
3? Well, it was a 2.5-day con, believe it or not. So that's something that they have to work out as well.
Yeah.
Because the facility that they're at is, there's two large halls.
Okay.
They had the one hall for 3 days and the other hall for 2 days.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Yeah. So that was a mistake that they had made.
Now, I got to tell you, so I didn't get a chance to go to the con because mm-hmm. I was out camping.
Yes, you were.
But having said that, I think they got to change the dates. They got too much going on that weekend. It's Canadian Thanksgiving weekend.
Uh-huh.
There's all kinds of fairs and stuff. People want to be outside. They want to be doing things.
Yeah.
Make it the week after or the week before or something.
Yeah, there was the huge Oktoberfest festivities going on there. And on our way home, we drove by the big Rockton Fair.
Yeah.
So you're right. You're right.
There's Rockton Fair going on. Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff going on already on that weekend. So,
right.
You know, what?
Yeah, we suggested that to the promoters and that they're definitely considered. They're trying to move it into the late spring if they can.
Oh, like, no. Like, they can need like to have April, it in middle of October. That's when they need to have it.
All right. I didn't tell them that. I said late spring.
Right. Everybody's got a show in late spring. That's when everybody does their shows. There's no shows going on in middle October.
That's not true.
What do you know about?
That's not
what
true.
Do you know about conventions? Anyways?
All right, listen. Let's not argue about it. So we'll. It was a great effort on the first show. A few things were missed. Like I said, I think as the first time promoters, they were really really focused on trying to get vendors.
Yep. Yeah.
And they left it way too late to try to get actual. Attendance.
Yeah, I
right?
believe that.
Because that is a tough part
totally.
Of thing. So speaking of poor attendance, let's jump to something with great attendance. And that was the New York City Comic Con.
New York City Comic Con.
They're saying on this report, Chris, and they said 250,000 people, but it's the way they count tickets.
Well,
and they're counting off-site
right.
participants.
Well,
they're
still participating.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
and who says it all has to be under one roof?
Yeah. I mean, so this is definitely the largest show now in North America, right?
Yeah.
It has surpassed the San Diego Comic-Con, the New York City Comic-Con. It is a enormous convention now. Lots of stuff going on, and that's where everybody wants to showcase and celebrate all the new things going on.
I had
comics.
A good friend down there go down, old-time comic guy, and he was calling me from there, and he said, Walt, oh my goodness, there is like any comic that you can think of.
Yeah, I believe is that. Here. Yeah.
If you had money and you wanted to top up your collection.
Yeah.
From the here's a Captain America number one, a 3-0. And then 2 seconds later, I found a 5.5. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I haven't seen a Captain America in Canada at a show in 15 years.
Yeah.
You know? And like in his first 20 minutes, he sees two of them.
Well, it's like, you know, I remember we went to the New York Con, I don't know, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And, you know, you stop by the Metropolis booth, and they've got 15 copies of AF-15, right?
Yeah, and they got two copies of Action 1 and two copies of Detective 27. And it's ridiculous, the wealth of riches down there. Now, everything, because the market is so hot, Chris, the market for back issue high-end comics is about the healthiest it's ever been.
Yeah.
So what my buddy down there said is prices were all healthy and hefty.
I believe it.
And the new catchphrase, Chris, on collectible comics.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day. I remember back in the day, Chris, where we used to see a guy, you know, at the show with a book, and then we'd snicker and we'd go away. Man, that guy's overpriced.
Yeah.
That's what our thing. Yeah. He's overpriced. Yeah. He's out to lunch. He's overpriced.
Yeah.
Until an American dealer once came to me about 15 years ago, and I had a Hulk 181 that I overpriced.
Okay.
Because they were hard to get.
Right.
Still are today.
Yeah, yeah.
So he walks up to me and he goes, "Oh, Walter, can I see your Hulk 181? I go, "Here you go, Bob." And he looks at it and he goes, "Oh, you have that priced aggressively."
Right.
And I love that. That's stuck.
Yeah.
So I was no longer overpriced.
You're aggressive.
I just priced aggressively on some books that, you know, you had to, right?
For sure.
So that, for the last 15 years, has served me beautifully.
Right.
We don't overprice books. We have to be aggressive on some.
Right.
It sounds so much more businesslike. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the new catchphrase. Now, there's a new one.
Oh, what's that one?
There's a new one.
What's the new catchphrase?
15 years ago, it was overpriced.
Yeah.
Last 15 years, it's aggressive.
Aggressive. Now it's...
How about replacement cost?
Oh, interesting.
Replacement cost. Yeah. That's the buzzword in New York when they're selling.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, what are you... You got $10,000 on that? Hey, replacement cost.
Yeah,
if I sell you this, I got to find another one. Where can I buy it for $10,000?
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's not around.
No.
By the time I'm looking to buy it, it'll be past $10,000.
Yeah, that's right.
Or whatever, right? So replacement cost.
Interesting.
Yes. Interesting. You see how things are kind of...
Yeah.
And that term could only come out of a super hot market.
Totally, yeah.
Right?
Totally, yeah.
Because when a dealer is thinking about selling you this book, and you're trying to chisel them down from $5,000 to $4,900.
Yep.
And he's in his head thinking replacement cost.
Yeah. He's not budging.
He's not budging.
No way.
It's my goodness. I don't like replacement cost. Unless, of course, I'm selling the book.
Well, exactly.
And then I love replacement cost.
Exactly.
So anyway, he was saying that was kind of like the buzz thing around the show.
Interesting.
This replacement cost stuff. But yeah, he was just so impressed. He went down with another gentleman. They were down there together. And they were both just in awe of the amount of material available for anybody to buy if they had the money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you got to remember New York City, the environs of New York City.
Yeah.
That is ground zero for comic books.
Sure.
Okay. So as old as Chicago is and as old as Philly is, none of them are New York City.
No, you're right.
None of them are having those kids peddling comics on the streets in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's just comics.
I mean, they probably were, but
But I'm saying comics are such a New York thing.
But New York was the offices of both Marvel and DC for so long.
And that's
right?
Kind of where I think the appetite for them was the strongest. And because it's funny, what we don't realize, we think of America, especially, as this kind of large, you know, united country.
Sure.
But it is very, very regional in terms of its tastes. Like, baseball was something, was a Northeast phenomenon into the Midwest.
Right.
They had to really sell it hard down south and in the Southwest, and now it's kind of more of a homogeneous thing.
Even hockey was
the It's still regional.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's still regional. Comics, in a way, was regional.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so over time, as the country becomes more, as you know, people travel and people kind of move to other places and they bring their customs with them and stuff, it's more of a homogeneous thing now. But back in, say, 1942
or something.
It was they had regional tastes.
Sure,
and
sure.
Comics was a Northeast thing predominantly.
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
And so that New York, when you go down to New York, when you go down to that show, you're just going to see everything.
I think we need to do a podcast from New York or Chicago or something like that.
Well, my pal there, he booked us.
Nice.
Next year on the Saturday.
At New York?
At New York for a live podcast.
That's good.
That's right. So, all right, Chris, let's take a little musical break.
All right, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here. What do you want to listen to today, Walt?
Some music.
But what?
Something, give me a C. A bouncy
C.
Yeah.
Here you go. There's something that is just right up your alley.
My little pony, my little pony. My little pony. I used to wonder what friendship could be.
My little pony.
Tell you all shared its magic with me. Big adventures. A beautiful heart, faithful and strong. Kindness and easy feet. And magic makes it.
Wow, that's nice.
Did you like that?
That's clopping music right there.
Oh, that was
I think that was a C.
Oh, nice.
Hey, listen.
We got to talk about one more thing here before we exit the whole show thing, convention thing. We really should talk about the Hamilton Comic Con.
Oh my goodness, the Hamilton
that's coming
Comic-Con.
Up this weekend.
It's coming up this weekend here in Hamilton, Ontario.
Yep,
the Hamilton Comic Con. If you're in Hamilton, why wouldn't you be?
Why wouldn't you be? Yeah.
If you're in Hamilton, you have to attend the Hamilton Comic Con, and then head on. Hey, I'm working. I'm not actually working the con this.
Why not?
I'm working the store on the Saturday.
How am I supposed to get in for free if you're not there?
I know. I'll give you the password.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Slalom.
Xnay. Yeah, I'll be working the shop. Anybody in the area, come on up to Big B on Upper James. I'll be here, and we can talk comics, and we can diss Chris while he's not there.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Hamilton Comic Con this Saturday and Sunday.
Yes. Now, it's going to be at – they've moved venues again.
Downtown at the convention center.
Right. So they're back at the convention center. Jim Shooter is going to be there.
Yes,
and that's,
he is.
If you're gonna go for any guest, in my opinion, my humble opinion, he's the guy to go for. Here's a guy that's been around in the comic industry for like 40 years plus, maybe 50 years. The guy's in his 60s, but he started when he was like 13 or something that.
Yeah. Prodigy.
So you know what? He's the guy to go and talk to. Get a signature from him. I'm sure it'd be awesome.
You know, a great guy to talk to. You know what? Tell us it like it is. He's a straight shooter.
Oh, boy. Anyways, Dale Keown is going to be there, who of Incredible Hulk fame. Leonard Kirk is going to be there, and Greg Hyland, Ben Templesmith. Greg Hyland's going to be there of Lego stuff. Mm-hmm. Ben Templesmith,
I'm surprised they let Greg in after what he pulled last year.
Hey, I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, let's not talk about that.
We should also let people know that. Ryan Hurst from Sons of Anarchy is going to be there.
That's right. Now, Henry Winkler had to cancel.
He canceled, but you can see David Faustino from Married with Children.
Oh, nice.
And if you want, you can also see Richard Grieco is going to be there from 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, and I think he's making some gyros
down
there.
From gyros, yeah. So, you know what? There's going to be a lot of people there going to this show. So, you know what? It'll be fun to go and just check things out. Why not?
Yeah, if you get bored at the show, make sure you come up and visit me.
Yeah. Keep plugging that, why don't you?
All right.
Listen, so that's Hamilton Comic Con this weekend.
Wonderful. Chris, let's continue on with industry news, and the industry news part deux is brought to you by Stella Artois Club Soda, the only club soda good enough to be endorsed by Marlon Brando.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I don't really know where that's going, but...
Stella!
Oh, right.
Man, do I got to spell it out for you?
Sometimes you do. I'm not very bright, you know.
All right.
What are we talking about
here?
Hey,
Chris, let's talk about this.
What?
So, remember Loot Crate?
Yeah. I actually bought one of those once.
So, what is Loot Crate?
Okay, so for those in the know...
Uh-huh. No. For those not in the know.
Well, I'm going to tell you. For those in the know, we know all about it.
Sure do.
But for those...
Especially me.
For those of you who don't know about it, like, you know...
me?
Some people. Mm-hmm. Loot Crate is a subscription service where every month you get a box of loot...
Uh-huh.
Of stuff.
Yeah.
Generally, it's based around a particular theme.
Right.
Not always, but generally it is.
Uh-huh.
But generally they have, even if there's not an entire theme, sometimes it's a partial theme.
Right.
So for example, I actually bought one once because...
Do you know what you're getting when you buy?
Not always. However, usually what they do is somebody somewhere... will spill the beans and
they'll leak
out the information.
Yeah.
Or even sometimes they tell you that next month is going to be X month or whatever, like Deadpool
month, or it's going
to be Star Wars month. Or
and you did the Star Wars month.
No, you know what? I found out.
Power Girl month. No,
yeah, I wish.
Uh-huh.
They were actually doing a...
Bat Penis month.
Action Comics number one.
Oh.
So they did a reprint of Action Comics number one.
Right.
So I thought, I don't own an Action Comics number one even in reprint form, mm-hmm. because even the reprint generally sell for a lot of money.
Yep.
So this was one, it was completely sanctioned by DC. It was a reprint. So I thought, you know, I can go ahead and spend $30 or whatever it is and get my Action Comics one reprint as well as a number of things. So there was a, like a Super Mario Brothers t-shirt, and there was a mug or something, and there was pins and trinkets and baubles and all kinds of stuff. It's loot. It's swag. It's all that
kind
of stuff.
So what it is.
So, well, hold on. So it's a subscription service mm-hmm. that you can subscribe to. So if you want to go for a full year,
right.
you can, and it just drops to you automatically.
Yeah.
Or you can sign up for 1 month.
Right.
And then, or maybe you want to sign up for a month and then come back to it
sure.
2 months later. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. So, the way I guess that, I don't know how to say that. What am I doing here? How am I talking? I don't even know how to talk. What I want to say is, so this is stuff that companies are trying to promote, and they're basically giving away to Loot Crate, and then Loot Crate is selling, or not giving away, but giving away, practically giving away
it's
to Loot
a really
Crate.
Good price.
Yeah, because what they want to do is get these new products
right.
into the hands of... consumers.
But not always. A lot of these times, these products are exclusive to Loot Crate.
Oh,
right. So
yeah, but with the design of getting you hooked onto that company's product.
Of Loot Crate, yes,
right.
yes.
Or can they also be dead stock?
Not usually.
Like,
it's usually new stuff.
Like what's that? Bobble pop. Vinyl pop vinyl.
Yeah.
Maybe they did a billion Fonzies or something.
Right.
And then they didn't sell.
It's not usually. Well, in fact, what it is, it's generally the opposite. Now
right.
it's generally, they may have a billion Fonzies, but you know what? If you want the gold-plated Fonzie,
right.
you have to get the Loot Crate one.
Right.
So maybe they do stuff with the stock to rearrange it or put a special sticker on it or, I don't know, special packaging that makes it special.
Right.
But generally it's new stuff. It's not just dead stock, and usually it's interesting. And you know what? For a lot of geeks out there and nerds and people that love this industry, they, you know, it's something fun that they get every month. And it's sort of like a way of spending their $30 a month, especially if they're not interested in collecting an ongoing series.
Okay. So you've kind of described what Loot Crate is. Let
right.
me read this thing about Walmart.
Okay.
Walmart to sell Loot Crate boxes. Walmart is adding dedicated collectibles section in its entertainment departments of over 3,500 stores beginning October 15th. Part of the new launch, Walmart will be the exclusive brick-and-mortar retailer for Loot Crate boxes.
Wow, that's huge.
6 Loot Crate boxes featuring Best of 80s, yeah. Space Out, Merc with the Mouth, Not of This World, Gaming Treasures, and Gaming Legends will be offered at launch for 1988.
Nice.
Funko merch.
Yeah.
Will move from the toy department to the new collectibles section with an exclusive chrome Thanos pop.
Right.
Final figures in 6 colors in the launched assortment. Other products include McFarlane toy sports figures, Upside Down Will from Stranger Things.
Right.
Plus 4 boxes from Culture Fly, Harry Potter, Fallout, Rick and Morty, and PlayStation. They'll be sold at the same price of 1988. So, as champions of local comic book shops,
yes,
Chris.
Yes.
I don't know. What do you think?
Okay, so here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
I don't mind this because I know what you're going to say. This could be undermining the efforts that local comic book shops, which are brick and mortar and, you know, usually small stores. Now you're saying, well, they're going to go and get their collectibles over there instead of here.
But isn't Loot Crate blind packs, kind of?
It is. No. Well, yes and no.
Right.
I don't know how they're going to do it. Normally,
yeah, I don't know, because they're obviously going to, hey, this is the Merc with the Mouth Loot Crate, or hey, this is the Best of the 80s Loot Crate,
but
aren't
I don't,
they?
Well, yeah, so yeah. I don't know how it's going to be done.
Because why would you buy 4 and then you get 4 of the same thing? Exactly. So it would have to be labeled.
Right. Or I don't know if they're going to do, like, is every Merc with the Mouth month, are they going to do different stuff with that every month?
I don't know.
You know, yeah. So I don't know. Or is this just a one-off where we're going to start with these 4 different loot crates, and then by the time it comes out, you're going to know what's in there.
Well, I think the only chance local comic book shops have with this kind of stuff, and there's a silver lining potentially.
Right.
Right. So basically what you and I have been discussing over the last decade here on this show is the problem with the distribution system for comics in North America.
Right.
Basically, the distribution system for comics in North America is limited to, let's use a number of 3,000 comic shops in North America.
Yep.
And these 3,000 comic shops are a collected group of ragtag vagabonds, like
right.
I was telling you before.
Right.
Just the worst dregs in the history of it.
Yeah.
And I'm just counting myself in
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
but everybody else is fine, I'm sure. But my point is... what Walmart is doing with the Loot Crate and what Loot Crate is doing is it is now distributing through 3,500 stores, getting this stuff into the hands of millions
right.
of kids and teenagers
so,
and young adults. So what it's doing is it's propagating popular culture.
Right.
So if your local comic book shop is your high-end boutique place with the finger on the pulse
yes.
type of place,
yes.
they can... capitalize
totally,
on this
totally.
Newfound
well,
demand.
Well, even with the comics, because you know what, somebody might come in and get. I'm assuming the Merc with the Mouth is Deadpool,
right?
So you know, maybe there's a Deadpool loot crate, and so now somebody's like, "Hey,
yeah,
this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna go get some more Deadpool comics,
right? And maybe I'll go grab a graphic novel, or
right?
Something like that.
But at the same time, I don't think it's gonna affect the industry that much because people that are already interested in it. Are probably getting it in at Amazon, or not Amazon, but they're buying it straight from Loot Crate. However, what you are going to get are those parents or grandparents or
whoever. It'll definitely increase
who don't know about
distribution.
It, right.
It'll
yes.
definitely increase distribution. Like Walmart is a really, really well-traveled
oh,
store.
Oh, for sure,
right?
For sure.
And you're talking about 3,500 stores
right.
carrying this stuff.
Yep.
So it can do nothing but increase the exposure of these pop culture properties, right?
Right.
And, you know, I guess my point is as long as the exposure of these pop culture properties is increased and there's more awareness to them, as a local comic book shop, you have to somehow tap into that and garner some of that business toward
right.
your shop.
Yes.
In some way, I don't know how. Right.
I don't know. I don't know if it's possible. I mean, I guess if you're smart about, I mean, but you know what? What could also happen
mm-hmm.
is the same thing that we saw with DC 100-page giants that were going on being sold at Walmart, is that retailers like, you know, comic book stores would then go and buy up all the stuff at Walmart and resell it at their local comic book store.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And that did happen as well, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Interesting interesting development, though. So let's stay on the same thing. It's kind of related in a way.
What's that?
It's with the toy thing. You, Chris, as a younger man and even into your collecting era as a young man. And stuff,
yes.
You frequented Toys R Us.
Sure.
So did I.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great place to pick up Star Wars, Lego.
Lego, gifts for kids and stuff.
Gifts
sure.
for kids. Yep. So as we all know in the States, they went bankrupt.
Right.
And then they were going to just liquidate everything.
But apparently they've been saved.
But apparently the creditors that drove Toys R Us to liquidate its stores to bankruptcy.
Right.
Now plan to use the company's brands for new retail ventures.
Oh, interesting.
They are not just dumping and selling everything on the market. They're actually going to hold. They actually looked at everything and said, hey, we got brand awareness. We got exclusive deals and contracts. I think for the, you know, the debt holders.
Yep.
We can actually do better by rebranding Toys R Us,
right,
which I think is a positive thing.
Sure,
they're working on concepts like Joffrey's Toy Box,
right,
like as a retail store, and opening up new Toys R Us stores.
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
I'm reading this article here, and it says that getting new supply for these stores could be a problem,
right?
Because apparently, Toys R Us owed all the gaming, owed some gaming and toy companies upwards of around $800 million. But they've agreed to settle for 22 cents on the dollar.
Wow.
So you know, let's just say, you know, I'm Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And you're Hasbro.
Hasbro.
So, you know, you give me a dollar worth of stuff, I go out of business, mm-hmm. and I now I say, hey, you know what? I tell you what, I know I owe you a buck, but I'm going to give you 22 cents.
Listen, it's not just that. Let's say I have to put that, I'm not even sure what their margins is, but just to say for simplicity's sake, I'm going to sell that for $2, but I paid you a dollar.
Right.
So I get $2 on my shelf.
Yep.
And I'm giving you a dollar for
right.
it. Because I have overhead. I have to pay sure. employees. I have to pay the building. I have to pay everything. And I have to have some for myself.
Yep.
So, but now for that $2 item, I can't pay you a dollar.
No.
I'm paying you 22 cents.
Right.
I'm paying you almost 10 cents, 11 cents to the dollar rather than 50 cents to the dollar. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So you're right. Why would I, as Hasbro, sell to you?
Hey, Hasbro, I got a new business now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. I can.
Hey, I'm good for it.
I'm good for it. Couldn't even give you a quarter of what it was before. But you know what? Don't you worry. This time things are different, baby.
I got Daddy Warbucks over here behind me with deep, deep pockets.
No,
helping
no.
stuff out.
I'm a changed man, baby.
So what? So maybe. Because we, up in Canada here, I don't know if they have them in the States, we have Mastermind Toys.
Yes.
Kind of smaller, you know, 4,000 square foot toy shops.
Right, as opposed to 40,000.
Yeah, opening up everywhere.
Yep.
They're across Canada now.
You have
Walmart, they're doing their thing. So maybe just the template of a Toys R Us is an antiquated thing.
Well, you know, you get a store like Mastermind, and although they have a lot of really good toys, I'll call it. I don't know how else to say it. Like, they don't have the crap. Like, they don't have just a rubber ball.
Right.
Right? They have, like, Lego, and they've got mechanics, and, you know, they've got all that stuff. And then, but Walmart, they have a lot of some of the good stuff, but they also have that lower-end stuff as well.
That's right.
So I'm wondering, how is Toys R Us going to fill this? Like, what niche are they going to fill? Because they can't fill the board game niche, because a lot of people are going to, like, individual stores like yourself for board games.
Right. So where Walmart failed is probably they didn't develop their online business well enough, because Amazon, whatever.
You mean Toys R Us?
Toys R Us, sorry. Yeah. Toys R Us. But also, the large set, like a 20,000 square foot section of the 150,000 square foot Walmart.
Right.
Is kind of Toys R Us.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
You know what I mean?
Yep, yep.
So you're already going to Walmart to get those cheap jeans that you like wearing.
Yeah.
also to get that roasted turkey because we don't have time to make dinner.
And you know what? I'm going to pick up a movie while I'm at it.
A movie while you're at it. And hey, I can go get toys for this birthday party I got to get this weekend. So
yeah, that's right.
Why go across the street and fight traffic to that specific Toys R Us store when Walmart now is serving that purpose?
Yeah, you're right.
So, maybe it's just an antiquated thing. So if these guys are going to try this, then they're going to have to get creative. But I just going back and doing what they did before
wasn't working.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work again.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So...
Interesting. You know, but we only have like a minute and a half here left to go. But just before we go, I want to very quickly talk about the fact that we're going to be in Chicago again next year for the podcast.
Oh, we are.
For the broadcast, rather.
That's right.
Live broadcast Chicago.
That's right.
And then where else are we going to be? Didn't we say we're going to start doing some around the globe things?
Oh, Chris, the calendar in 2019 is filling up. Is filling up
just
tremendously.
Huge.
I want to say 20 emails a day, but I might be wrong.
Yeah.
We have to start picking now where we're going to.
Right.
Go.
Right.
We may sign an exclusive Singapore thing. But in all honesty, though, we do have to take it on the road next year.
We do, for sure.
It's been a plan of ours.
Yes.
We've been teasing it.
Yeah, teasing it.
But I think with the technology and the couple of things that we...
we should be able to do something soon.
We should be able to do something.
Hey, are you going out for Halloween this year?
No. Well, we're handing out, and your local comic book shop should too.
Yeah.
We got a campaign called Give Comics Not Cavities.
Oh, nice.
So we make a price point for people to come in and buy a pack of like 15 comics for like $5.
Oh, nice. Right? Okay.
So, and then they take those comics and they're all kid-friendly comics.
Right.
And so at the door,
yeah,
it's like, hey, give comics not cavities.
Oh, very good.
So again, the kid's going to look at the comic, look at the guy giving it to him and goes, you lousy louse, give me those Aero bars.
Hey, you know what we're giving out?
What?
Full-size chocolate bars.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You know, you should give out.
What's that?
Comic books.
Yeah, you know, I don't want people to egg my house.
Give comics, not cavities. That's what I say. All right, Chris, it's all the time we have today for this show. We're at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, which I think we're in trouble with.
I know. That's fine.
We forgot to send him something.
We forgot to do something. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
We forgot to do something.
And we apologize.
But we don't know what we forgot to do.
I know.
But it's somewhere on an email.
Story of my life.
All right.
Yeah.
And we're at comicbookdaily.com. If you want to comment on the show, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the show, and somewhere down the bottom there's a comments field, and please enter your comments. And most importantly, this week, make sure you go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.